Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
God, that's what he's doing today. That's what he's doing today. He's raising up the broken to life. Hallelujah. Father, before we get into the word, I'm asking your anointing upon the reading of the word today. Let your word, the double portion of anointing, be upon your word today. Give us ears. Everybody say, give me ears to hear the Spirit of the living God. Speak life into me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord another hand. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Father, we worship you. We worship you. God, we worship you. We worship you. Woo! Wow. Praise God. You may be seated for just a moment. Because I don't know when I'm going to tell you to stand back up. That's why I tell you that. I don't have a clue what I'm going to do. Most of the time, I honestly don't. It is not at all. I can honestly say I'm so comfortable with this whole thing of just letting the Spirit of God move. I love that. I love that. I don't know what we're doing next, but I know that He knows. I don't know what call that God has placed on your life, but I know that you know, and I know that God knows because He's still dealing with you. You might as well give in. I gave in after 30 years of running from God and say, I didn't just run from Him. I kept yelling back, no! You know what I mean? No! You know that goodness and mercy that's promised to follow me all the days of my life? I mean, I've done that. We all done that. Don't you act like I'm the only one in the room that's done that. No. Get off. I need you when I need you. But you're not real convenient right now. That's what we do. It's called the power of the Spirit of God. He loves you. Do you know that everybody say, I know you love me, Lord. Did you lie? Because I know, no, seriously, I know He loves me. I know. You say, well, you got to really, man, you must have faith. I actually believe He exists. See, that's the hurdle. And then the second big hurdle is that He actually loves me and values me. Actually loves me and values me. Well, don't be selfish about it because He loves, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son so that, three of you, okay, so that whosoever believeth upon me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's a kingdom thing. He gave His life for all of us, but He knows you, dude, by name. He knows me by name. Have you ever gone into I was a kid. I was in the Southern Gospel, the National Quartet Convention a lot, and it was so cool. How many of you remember the Hemp Hills? Remember the Hemp Hills in Southern Gospel music? The Hemp Hills, okay, you remember the Hemp Hills? And you know, they were, did you know the Hemp Hills? Remember them? They're from your, down in your Kentucky area, I think. The Hemp Hills are. Yeah, and so there's this, every time I'd go to either the National Quartet Convention or these big concerts, one time I went to many times I was at the Kingsland Theater. I was backstage because I was friends with the Lesters. I did their hair. I did. I did their hair for their TV show. The old TV shows had the credit rating on it. I never saw it. I wasn't up that early, I used to do their hair, and I did their hair on one week down at one of their shows in Branson, and I took a week's vacation with Gina. We went to Branson. I worked all week, and she said, let's go back. Let's go back to St. Louis. It's less work. So I did their hair at their show in Branson the whole week. Anyway, my point is, when you go into these concerts, and somebody says, well, Barry, how are you? They knew my name. Wow. The hemp hills knew my name. Oh, what, let me give you a better one. Russ Taft, Imperials. He remembered me. Y'all remember Russ Taft, don't you? Don't act like you don't. You remember Russ Taft, boys from Steelville, Missouri? His uncle was my grandma's next door neighbor, Bill Taft. You know, we're family. Name droppers, you know, don't you love being a name dropper? Well, I know Jesus the King. Okay, so let me just name drop here. I know Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. I know him, and here's the thing. He talks to me every morning. I mean, think about that. We're name droppers, aren't we? We love when somebody knows my name. It's cheers. Everybody, where everybody knows your name. Hey, Norm. Happened every show, right? Hey, Norm. Every morning, Jesus, when you wake up. Hey, Barry. Now, he didn't call you Barry, but insert your name. Don't you love that? You're serving the anointed one. And he is the Christ, the anointed one. And you know him by name. And you're actually in a personal relationship with him. One time I was with a buddy of mine went on our missions trip this last time, Mark Hollander. I was having lunch with him and I got a call. Named Lou Brock showed up on my phone and I was in there. I had to show it to Mark. Because Mark's a big Cardinal fan, you know. Hey Lou, how are you? It's great to see you. I want you to know I haven't been with Lou and Jackie for years, so honestly, but it was fun being able to say, he called me. Why do we get so worked up when the Creator calls us every morning? I mean, I'm amazed at how we are so impressed with men. If we ever get the perspective, God knows how many hair are on my head. He knows me. He's my buddy. He's my God, my Creator, but he's my very best friend. And he said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's how intimate we are. And so I just want to share with you a little bit about today. Yeah, we're continuing our series. We're definitely continuing our series on our spiritual truths. And I want to talk with you about the anointed one and what the anointed one did with the anointing. So I'm going to just jump around. I'm going to tell different stories. And I just want you to just join me on the journey of finding out this one particular spiritual diamond. You'll catch it about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down. It says, we believe that in order to live the holy and fruitful lives that God intends for us, we are commanded to be baptized in water and encouraged to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or we use the phrase baptized in the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit enables us to use spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues, which is the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like for you to understand something. I'm going to tell you that may be the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but that's not the first thing that happens. So I'm just going to be real with you. I'm in agreement with this truth. I want to make sure, in fact, I'm going to amend this. I want you to know I'm going to amend this, and I want you to know why I'm going to amend it. It is because I think it needs to be clearer than that. Let me just tell you what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, and if you have it back there, if you can throw up Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Do you guys have that handy? These are the words that Jesus spoke. About this is right after his resurrection, he was addressing but you will receive power. He was addressing the disciples after he had resurrected, and he's having a conversation with them, and he says this, but you will receive, and he tells them, go back to Jerusalem. By the way, just before that, they're getting into this eschatology conversation. You know, Lord, are you going to now, you know, reestablish the throne of Israel? Are you going to give the kingdom back to Israel? You're going to put Israel in its rightful place as king? And he says, it's not for you to know the time or the dates or the hour. You know, the truth is, even the Son of Man doesn't know that. And so it's not, in other words, don't get so wrapped up with that as a distraction. Do you know we can get distracted by good things that look valuable. But we get distracted by good things that look valuable instead of focusing on the things Christ wants us to focus on. And this is a huge statement that he makes in this next, statement. In this portion of scripture, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Did you notice what Jesus said? When the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power for purpose. There's a power for purpose. Now I'm going to give you a heads up. Some of us were in a meeting on Tuesday night, and I'm going to give total kudos to the revelation that God gave Tim Enlow in some of the meetings. I'm going to use some of the information that he spoke of, and I'm going to use some of the things God just speaks to me, because I believe it's all God's word. But I want you to know, some of you were with me in this meeting on Tuesday night, and I'm sitting there going, thank you. I wanted so badly to stand up and applaud him at a district council of the Assemblies of God, because he addressed this very issue. This power has purpose. And I want you to, everybody get out and start writing, because I'm going to tell you what that purpose is, those purposes are real quick, but I want you to remember them, and so I want you to write them down quickly. Here we go. I want you to notice in the scripture that we're about to go through, all of these scriptures that I'm going to read to you display, not only talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, it also, do you know that the evidence, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the physical evidence side, has nothing to do with the non-believer. It just doesn't. That is for the edification of the body. It has nothing to do with the non-believer. Okay, so I want to point that out to you. And don't get all worked up if you're, you know, kind of, I was raised in the Assemblies of God. I was raised in quote unquote, I sat in some of those old time Pentecost meetings. I sat in tent meetings. I've been there. So there's none of that that I haven't experienced. I was banned from I was so unholy because my hair was long. I was banned from, kids camp in the Southern Missouri District. So I know all about this AG thing, and I thank God Tim Enlow stood there and spoke truth about the power and the reason and the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Write these three things down, and I'm going to give them to you in just a second. Everybody turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus had just started his ministry in chapter 3. He is actually baptized by John, his cousin, between chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Luke. And in chapter 4 of the book of Luke, its first words were, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, he has just come out of the desert experience. He's about 30 years of age. And the only way I know that is because Luke actually said he was about 30 years of age when he started his ministry. He didn't say he was right at 30. He said he was about 30 years of age. At least that's the interpretation. So he's about 30 when he started his ministry. And in verse 1, it says, Luke writes it, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan. Now his ministry is beginning. Because now his ministry is people. And now he is full of the Spirit. God, in the form of a dove, hovered over him when he was baptized by his cousin John. And he spoke, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus went down, he came back up, and he was full of the Spirit. Then he went into battle with the enemy in the desert. We know that he was tempted. And this is the after effect of this. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from Jordan. Now, jump to verse 14. Jesus returned then to Galilee. This is where I'm going to start reading. In the power of the Spirit. Everybody say power. Power. Everybody say power. Power. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Man, there was something about this guy they couldn't not talk about. If you ever read the real Jesus of the Bible instead of the religious stiff white guy, can I get, help me get, he was brown, he was Jewish. Everybody get that? He wasn't a stiff white guy.
said, yeah, he would have been banned from camp too. He had long hair. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. Hey, we tell the truth here, don't we? Remind me to tell you the first time I did go to camp, when I was a pastor the first time I went to camp, I was kicked out of the girls' swimming hole. I didn't know I wasn't allowed there. I was taking pictures. Have you ever been to a public swimming pool? Of course, everybody wears swimming suits. They're not bathing. They're swimming. They're wearing swimming suits. I was taking pictures to send back to parents, and my cousin kicked me out of the whole section saying, "You're not allowed to be here." I said, "Why?" She said, "You're a boy." I said, "No kidding. I'm also their pastor. I'm taking pictures." Give you the rest of the story real quick. That night, and when the boys walked by with their towels, their shirts, you know, were off. They had their swimming suits walking by, and they had their towels over their. They yelled to the girls, "Girls, turn around! You're not allowed to look at the boys while they're going to the boys' swimming hole." So the girls all turned around. The boys weren't allowed to look at the girls, and they all went their separate way to the swimming hole. The problem with that was that night when I got to the tabernacle, and we're all in there worship, getting ready. The pre-service videos are playing. They got pictures of the girls swimming in the swimming hole. And they got pictures of the boys swimming in the swimming hole. So I went over to my cousin. I said, "Hey, I want to ask you something." She said, "What?" I said, "Why are you playing porn in the auditorium? Because if it's porn out there, it's porn in here." She said, "Shut up and get away from me, Barry. Don't even talk to me till the rest of this night is over." Okay. Sorry for the distraction. That's a distraction that I was telling you about. Somebody says squirrel to me and I go. Jesus goes into the tabernacle and he begins to read. Okay? He goes into the tabernacle. This is what it says. Everybody praised him. Verse 16. He went to Nazareth where he was brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, which was his custom, and he stood up and he read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Everybody say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It's the same Spirit that was on Christ that's on you. Do you know John 20, 21 and 22 says that he actually breathed on the disciples and he said, "Be full of the Spirit." He breathed the Spirit in them. It's the same Spirit that's in Jesus. It's the same Spirit that's in Jesus, and he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. The same as in the creation. He breathed into man his first breath. Man became a being. And I got to give credit to, what's his name from Australia? I love that he said this. I know his name, Brian Houston. I heard him say this. He said, "Hey, he breathed in that we became living beings, not living doings." Because all the rest of the creation was just doing. But he breathed into you and me, being. We're about being his, not just doing things. And so he says, "The Spirit of the living, of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Listen to this. "To preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back. And they said, "Who in the world is he?" These three things, the power that Acts chapter 1 Jesus talked about and that Isaiah 61 talks about, the power for purpose. Here's the purpose. Three purposes. The power to speak, the power to liberate. Everybody get that? The power to liberate and the power to heal. The power to speak, to liberate, and to heal. It's the power to speak Jesus into somebody's life or Jesus into a moment. It's the power to change the dynamics in a room by actually taking authority over what the enemy is doing in a room and bringing authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. It's the power to speak revelation into someone's life. It's the power to speak hope to the hopeless. It's the power to speak to the alcoholic who's fighting that deadly disease. It's the power to speak Jesus and to speak Jesus. And instead, well, if the preacher would just stop preaching so long. The word says, out of this same tongue cannot come blessing and curses. If we're anointed by the Spirit to speak, the things that tongue speaks cannot be speaking two different. We don't speak forked tongue. Remember the old on F Troop? F Troop? Chief Wild Eagle, he speaks with forked tongue. That means it's two sides of your mouth. Listen, if we're speaking blessing and curses, we are liars and we are deceiving ourselves. That's what God's word says. That's what God's word says. So we are anointed. The spirit, the power in us has purpose to speak hope, to speak Jesus, to speak life, to liberate, to set the captive free. Boy, somebody's in a battle and they're locked in this prison of depression. Give them a call and say, meet me, meet me, do something, get out, meet me. Hey, I know those moments. I know what it is to know that God actually sent someone to call me to get me out of the funk I was in. And man, just sitting and talking to them just liberated my spirit. There was something that God does when he gives you the power. And this is what Jesus said. The spirit of the Lord is upon me for purpose. And did you ever notice? It's not a purpose that serves me. It's a purpose that serves the harvest. Everybody recognize this. I got 10 minutes. Everybody recognize that the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, Pentecostals have long bragged on, we are Pentecostal. We have something they ain't got. No, we don't. Well, we might. It's called arrogance. I'm just saying. Because if that's how we think of it, that's wrong. We're broke already. It is not about being Pentecostal. Pentecost is a Jewish feast. We don't own it. We don't own it. It's the Jews' feast of harvest. And it was no accident that when Jesus was resurrected and they saw him, he said, when I leave, you go back to Jerusalem. Why? Because the feast of the harvest was going on. You know, the feast of the harvest was about celebrating the great harvest that God had given to you the year before and worshiping God and acknowledge him in the temple and in the synagogues about God's blessing of the harvest. And it was to give God his first portion too. We're going to take an offering here in a few minutes. Everybody said? Amen. That I didn't even plan to say. But the Pentecost is about the feast of the harvest. Jesus said back in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and when the Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be witnesses. Get that? It's about people. Spirit-filled living is about people. And yet, we kind of misunderstood it a little bit when I was growing up. And we had some meetings, and I wasn't sure why was going on that was going on, if you know what I mean. There were just things that I'd sit there as a child and go, is she going to be okay? And my mom and dad said, yeah, just stay still. It'll be fine. If it gets out of line, Brother Shockley will say something. I hope. There's something. See, what we're looking for is genuine, authentic moving of the Spirit. There's a lot of things that cause emotion. There's a lot of things that cause emotion. And by the way, the thing that caused the physical emotion in that service was they were under a different situation was going on. There was a battle going on in a woman's girdle or up a guy's, you know, his trousers. There are things inside of us that cause us to at some level come to a place of crisis in our service to God. And when we finally realize we get freedom from something, there's a genuine time for just shouting before the Lord in worship in freedom. But the attention goes to him and the glory goes to him. You get that? The attention goes to him. The glory goes to him and nothing else. I love the idea. I love being in a church that believes in the Spirit-filled experience where God just speaks the living Spirit into us so that we can, with purpose, speak into people's lives hope, liberate the captive. And by the way, did you know that it was prophesied of Jesus, that of the Messiah, that he would heal the lame, that the blind would see, and that those types of healings would take place. Do you know that nowhere in the Old Testament, and Tim pointed this out the other night, nowhere in the Old Testament was there ever recorded a lame person receiving their legs. Nowhere in the Old Testament was it recorded that the blind were ever healed. Nowhere. Nowhere. And yet he fulfilled prophecy because he said Messiah will do these things. These things will take place. And then when Jesus left, Jesus breathed the Spirit into us and he says, now you'll do things greater than you've seen me do. Those were Christ's own words. Why? Because we have the same living Spirit in us and we see a situation. We can discern. It's a spiritual gift. That's one of the gifts. We can discern. You see, discernment isn't even about me. It's about serving who's going through what they're going through. It benefits them for me to discern what battle they're in. Oh, it's a spiritual battle. Like about 3 years ago when the young lady I told you about that was full of demonic activity, had been worshiping in demonic services for years, came to one of our services in Guatemala, and she started speaking with a man's voice coming at me, crawling over the pews. And those six Guatemalan women discerned quickly. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus in Spanish, they were all over. And that girl didn't come up till she was clean. She was praying in the Spirit. They didn't just get her saved. She was praying in the Spirit by the time she left the building. I was told, because they were there till well after midnight, and Herman told me later. Oh, those ladies stayed in that building because back down there, they don't lock churches. The doors, they have no doors. They're just open doorways. Like the drunk, I got to tell you real quick, years ago, it was actually that same trip. I'm speaking, Herman's interpreting, and the power of the Spirit is falling. We had about 100 people in the room, and the power was falling in this room. God's Spirit is international. Remember the guy that in 1996 spoke 5 minutes of Espanol, and the power of God fell in my life. It changed me. In 5 minutes of Espanol, of what I'd heard all my life, 5 minutes of Espanol, and God's Spirit changed me. So I'm going down there back in Guatemala, and Herman's interpreting, and a drunk man walks by. I mean, there's a hole in the wall. There's no door. It's a hole. And he walks by, and he stands there, and he's clearly inebriated. And I'm preaching the word, and I'm giving life, and I'm talking about setting the captive free. I mean, all of those messages resonate down there because they know they're in demonic territory down. They know that. We don't know it. We ain't got it. This guy stops, and he listens for the longest time, and he reaches into his pocket, and he holds a $1 in his hand. I mean, I found out later. I didn't know what it was. But he holds a bill in his hand. And he starts coming up into the building. And he's doing this. And he is literally walking drunk towards me. And several of their men stop him and they're going to throw him out. And I don't speak Espanol, but I know this. Alto. Alto. No, 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 no. Alto. No, stop. A key. Let him come. And then Herman interpreted, let him come. And the man came up. All he had was equal to $1. But he wanted to give it. He wanted to give something. And I said, let him give it. It's his. It's the only thing he's got to give. And they begin to pray with him. And the power of God falls on this man. Years ago, there was a man in Steelville, Missouri. He's known as Perry. Some of you know the story. Perry was known as the town drunk. I've told the story. I've seen Perry drunk, staggering on Highway 19 between Cuba, because his house is it's a little box house that was between Cuba and Steelville, Missouri. Perry was drunk. One night he went in years ago. Don Massey, Joe Massey was the pastor there at Steelville First Assembly. Right across the railroad tracks, he stumbles into the church drunk. And he left that church spirit filled that night and sober. The supernatural power of God sets people free. It liberates people. And from that day on, God is my witness, because I knew Perry. I watched Perry. Perry walked with his Bible down Highway 19 from that time on. And he walked straight. And every time anybody'd stop to pick him up and say, Perry, I'll drive you into church tonight or this morning, he'd say, nope. That town saw me for 30 years stumbling around on highway. I want them to see what Jesus does to the drunk. And I'm walking to church. And he'd walk a straight line to the church down, all the way down 19, cross the railroad tracks and go into the old location until God took him home. But he went in that building drunk. He came out supernaturally sobered because he was set free. He was liberated. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. Believe me. You know what? I believe this. Tim Enloe said this the other night. It's about when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you need to begin quickly to exercise that. It's about doing something with it quickly. And you know what the Pentecostal churches have done for many years, and I own it. Well, we thought exercising it meant praying the Spirit a lot. I mean, honestly, I never heard so many people start a prayer with Ikola Mashundai. I'd never heard so many people start a prayer with that. I didn't know the Holy Spirit started everything that way. Ikola Mashundai. I could quote it, unquote. How many of you know what I'm saying? It's true. Okay, thank you. At least in the Assemblies of God, the Holy Spirit always started every sentence with Ikola Mashundai. Now, it may have been the Holy Spirit, but I do know this. I know this. That's not, now I know this because I've read the Word. That's not exercising the Holy Spirit. It's not in those purposes. It's not in the purposes. That is a gift that comes with the gift, the power. But the power has purpose, and it's people. Count how many blue seats are here empty this morning. You see, we're missing it. I'm missing it. As your pastor, I'm the greatest failure in the room. I'm not being humble about it. I'm being real with you. Because if we say, and please understand, I'm talking about a literal hell. I'm not cursing when I say this. If we, in our action, even though we're not cognitively thinking, to hell with them. I don't have time for all of that. I got this. I got that to do. I got this to do. I got that. I got to make sure I'm at 7 o'clock Bible study. I got to make sure I'm at the church at 10 o'clock for prayer meeting. I got to make sure that I'm at the Wednesday night worship. I got to make sure that I'm at, but I don't have time for all, because do you know how many people have said to me, Christians have said to me, I don't have any friends that aren't Christians. Aren't we supposed to be Jesus with skin on? What was Jesus's his reputation nickname? He was a friend of sinners. It was the religious that he saved his harshest words for, because they despised that he was liberal compared to them. I'm sorry if that offends your politics, but Jesus was liberal compared to the religious of the day. They were, when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they rebuked him. You cannot heal. That is against the law. And he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created to serve you, not the other way around. If you got a donkey stuck in the creek or in a ditch on Sabbath, wouldn't you go get it out? Of course you would. Use good judgment. But Jesus was about people, for God so loved the world. He's not talking about planet Earth. He's talking about people. So much that he died for it. And the passion of the heart of God, I'll fill you and then you go be with people. I'll fill you and you go speak power into people's lives. I'll fill you with the Spirit and then you go liberate somebody. I'll fill you and then you go heal somebody. You say you're sick? They may not come up well if I pray for them, so I don't want to look like I don't have faith. You know what? That's God's business. Go up and lay your hands, ask their permission, lay your hands on them and say, I am going to pray for you. I am going to pray a prayer of faith over you until you are healed in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean I'm not going to let you go, but I want to begin praying with you right now. Don't do this anymore. I'll be praying for you. I'm going to wager most people that say that never do. Oh, I forgot. That's right. They mean well. But stop and pray with them. You have the power to heal in Jesus' name. Speak it into them in Jesus' name. It's not mind over matter. It's power. And it's the Spirit of the living God that flows through us with purpose. Everybody know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because there's no outlet. That's right. Things actually do go into the Dead Sea alive. Did you know that? But there's no outlet. The exercising, when you're full of God's Spirit, it's about exercising an outflow. Because you already got the inflow. It's about finding an outflow. It's about finding who. And it's not just, oh God, give me one name. It's a life of giving Jesus away. It's a life of giving Jesus away. The blue chairs, I'm going to just be real with you. If we're not grieved when we come in, I worship God. I worship. That's why I'm sitting on the platform, because years ago when I used to sit on that platform, I couldn't take watching. how empty the auditorium became. And it was a distraction. So what did I do? I came off the platform and I stand right there. And I keep my back. I just let God, whoever you send. And I will worship God. I don't want the effects. I want the causer. Because when the causer, you know, I don't care about good meetings. Because when we're living with the causer, the meetings will be great. The meetings will be amazing because we'll come in here and we will be shouting hallelujah for what the Spirit of the living God did with the harvest. Can you believe? You see, I happen to believe since Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 ends with, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. When those five purposes are being lived out in a healthy organism, it can't help but reproduce itself. And I'll wrap this up. When a couple cannot have a baby, when they can't conceive, they begin going to the doctor and they want to know which one of us, or both, which one of us has a problem. Because you see, God created healthy organisms to reproduce themselves. So a healthy male and a healthy female, sexually healthy, will be able to produce themselves. Now, everybody agrees with that, right? A healthy sexually male and a healthy sexually, with sexual organs, healthy sexual organs will be able to reproduce themselves. And when something is not right with it, when something's out of balance, if there's endometriosis, for example, within a woman's physical body, they have to clean that out, that thing that's unhealthy and stopping that conception from taking place. And then conception takes place and the miracle, what happens? They reproduce themselves and one was added to their number. Get the spiritual side of that. When we're healthy as a church, I'm talking about as a corporate body. Now, individually, there are some, I've watched them, no matter, you can't stop them from giving Jesus away. I've watched them. There's some of you in this room, I've watched you, I've been around you, I've heard you speak. You just live Jesus. Wherever you go, you just live Jesus. And you don't have to do it my way. In fact, I hope you don't. Because your wife or your husband, God bless them for having to live with me, and Gina has to all the time. But do it the way the Spirit develops you. You are you on purpose. Isn't that great? And the Spirit of the living God is within you for power, for purpose, to speak life, to liberate the captive, and to bring healing to the physical in need. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes to the Spirit-filled experience. Lord, it is great to speak in tongues. It is great to speak prophetically. It is great to operate in the spirit of discernment. It is great to operate in all of those spiritual gifts. But God, you gave it with purpose. And the purpose is people. It's the harvest. It's about giving Jesus away. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will so make us aware, God, that you died for the ones that the empty blue seats represent. You actually really died for them. And Lord, we're not getting them here. We're just not getting them here. So I, as the leader of St. Charles River Church, I repent before you, God. I won't speak for anyone else. But I repent before you, God, because somewhere I am failing. I am failing to reach those that you bring into my life, the way you want me to reach. I'm failing in some ways, God, and yet in other ways we see great success. But I'm asking you, God, to forgive me and to rebirth in me the awareness that the power has purpose, and the purpose is people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every believer said, amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a huge hand, will you? Come on, give him a great hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.